This is the September 1st meeting of the PND Governance Committee. I'm George Ryder. I'm going to call the roll. I'm the chair. Lona Elias. Lydia Brazon. Virginia Browning. Stephen Brown. Mal Bernstein.
Mal is on vacation.
Vito Diaz. Vanessa Dixon Briggs. Jose Luis Fuentes Roman. Will you hear, Larkin?
George, Vanessa has resigned from the governance committee. She was removed, actually, and she resigned both at the same time.
Okay.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay. William Hewagen?
Present.
Joseph Kay? Pat Logan? Tony Norman?
Present.
Lawrence Reyes?
Present.
Fred Blair?
Present.
Chuck Anderson?
Present.
Serene Roberts?
Present.
Serene, did I hear you? Were you here?
Present.
Nancy Saivara Naratomi?
Present.
Margie Wilkinson?
I'm here. I just need to let you know that I have to leave by, I don't know what time it would be. It's a quarter of seven Pacific time. I have another obligation I have to deal with. So,
okay.
Just apologizing in advance for that.
Appreciate that. And I'm here, and we have 11 members, which is a quorum. I have no items myself for the agenda tonight. We have minutes to be approved. I have a short report about what happened with the request to Kriegler. And other than that, there's nothing on the agenda. Does anyone have any item that they'd like to put on the agenda tonight?
This is Kareem.
Kareem, go ahead.
I resent to the committee earlier the two remaining items from my July 22nd request. One deals with the rotation of the meetings, the in-person meetings, and the third one was about public comment.
Can you repeat that? I didn't quite hear. Bonito.
There were, back on July 22nd, I had sent two items for our August 4th meeting, three items. I think we only got to one of them. I'm sorry, I didn't see the minutes. I don't know when they were sent, but I didn't see them. The two remaining items, one concerns in-person meetings, the rotation of in-person meetings, and the other one, public comment at our in-person meetings.
And when did you send them, Serene? And what did you send them?
July 22nd. I sent them on August 4th, and I sent them around 5-something this evening.
Was it sent to GovList or from your own?
GovList hasn't worked in months. Or at least not for me. I don't get anything from it or through it. I sent it to everyone individually.
Sent it from Serene WBAI?
Yes.
Ah, I see. No, I don't see. I don't have it. Does anyone else have that?
I don't have it.
What do we have?
I don't have it handy, but I remember seeing it.
This would be an email from directly from Serene Serene, WBAI. What did you say, Serene, about 5 o'clock?
5:30 Eastern.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't... I gather no one else has seen it either. Benito, did you say you got it?
No, I remember seeing it some weeks ago. I don't know about today. I didn't see anything today.
Yeah.
What are we looking for?
An email from Serene.
Serene, would you send that again?
I'm not online, and it's not the kind of thing that we can talk about without folks looking at it. So can someone go back to the August 4th email and look for it?
I found August 6th. I found it for August 6th.
Oh, okay.
Motion for special rule, in-person meeting order. Is that, that's one of them?
Yes.
And motion for special rule on public comment at in-person meetings, right?
Yes.
Now I even remember reading it. Okay. Let's see. So how do I send it to people? I don't know.
Well, try GovList first. We'll see what happens.
Well, okay, so let me see. And what is GovList? It's PMB. I don't remember. I've never gotten anything from GovList, so I don't have the email.
It's working. It hasn't worked in the past couple of months.
Yeah.
Can you send it to George, and he can send it to the whole group? Do you have the list available, George?
I don't have it separately. I'll have to send it through GovList. I can do that.
Okay. I'm sending it to you right now, George.
While we're doing that, I just have a point of information more so than anything, but in terms of setting an agenda.
Go ahead, Peter, what's your question?
Yeah, I'm wondering, is there anything with regard to bylaw amendments that we might need to talk about, given that that's coming up?
Well, I don't know. Does anybody else on the committee have something they want to bring up about that? A bylaws they want discussed or whatever?
Well, I would like us, that's a good idea, Benita, just to put on the list the discussion of the current bylaws process. We can just get updates about what's happening locally, if anything.
Okay. Let me see if I've got the message.
I sent it to the Gmail account.
I've just sent it to GovList. In a minute or two, we'll see if it works. While we're waiting to find out, anybody else have something they'd like on the agenda? We have two items from Serene and a discussion of where the bylaws process is at that Benito suggested. Anything else? See if that arrives. Oh boy. It all bounced for me.
How could it pass?
I don't know. I might have sent it with the wrong email address. I just sent it with the other one. We'll see.
So govlist@kpfktx.org?
Kpfktx.org, yeah. And let's see what we got. Now it bounced again.
Point of information, George.
Yeah.
So, since the governance is not working, can we just read the two items and discuss them?
We could. They're kind of long, I'm gonna try to send it to everybody who's here. I think I've all got your all emails, so it shouldn't take very long. But give me about a minute or two.
Okay.
George, this is Vanessa. I came on maybe 10, 15 minutes ago or something, but I'm here.
Vanessa, are you still on the committee? It was reported that you were not.
No, I resigned from the programming committee. I'm not sure who reported that I resigned from Gov.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's my mistake. I mixed up. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Vanessa.
Okay.
This is Lydia. I'm going to mute.
Okay. Oh, gosh. I haven't got Fred Blair's or Chuck Anderson's email. Maybe I do. Let me just check.
Chuck, I'm going to send you.
Back. I might have that. I don't.
Okay, George, I just sent you just now, so it'll take a few minutes, maybe.
Yes.
Because Otis sent me a list because I was calling people, and so he sent me a list, so it has it on there.
Okay, good.
But Pat Logan's number is not a working number, and she doesn't have another one, so if Maureen knows, Pat needs to come up with another telephone number.
There it is. Okay, almost there.
Was it a special rule concerning public comment at PMB meetings?
Mm-hmm.
And Serene's motion on us. Oh, let's see. There was another one.
Yeah.
How meetings are convened.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's... No, it's the one about the rotation of in-person meetings.
Yeah, I think we talked about the convening of meetings at the last...
Right.
In August, so it's just the other two I suddenly sketched it. I don't know what happened to that email. I'm sure I hit send before I turned off and dashed out, but sorry.
Okay. I don't know what the rotation thing.
Okay. Almost ready to go here. Okay, I just sent it to everybody.
Thank you, George.
Serene motions.
That's it. Okay, there were no other motions other than the bylaws process discussion. Are there any other additions to the agenda right now?
Point of information, Benita said something about bylaws. What I didn't hear to put on the...
It went on as a discussion of where the bylaws process is at the moment. Is that correct, Benita?
Correct.
Okay. So you all have Serene's motions in front of you. The agenda consists of... I will report briefly about last week's a motion relative to getting an opinion from Kriegler. We have minutes to approve. There are two motions from Serene and the bylaws discussion. Is there any objection to that agenda?
Could you repeat those items?
You want to read the items?
Just repeat the list.
Okay, so it approval of minutes. A brief report from me about the request to Kriegler for a legal opinion, Serene's two motions, one in-person meeting order, and the second one in regard to a special rule for public comment. And the final would be the bylaws process, where is it at the moment? Is there any objection to that agenda?
George?
Yes?
I don't have an objection. I just think maybe we could do the update first before we get into the motion. So the bylaws thing, update that Benito mentioned, I would suggest we do
that. Do you want to put that first?
Well, it doesn't have to be first. It can be after your report, but before the motions.
Sure. Any objection to moving it up? Okay, well, hearing none, any other objection? Any objection to the agenda as it's been just changed? Okay, hearing none, then that's the agenda. Nancy sent the minutes about 5:30, is that right, Nancy?
Something like that, yeah.
Would anyone like a moment or two to read through them? Does anyone object to the minutes as presented?
or maybe people want more time to read them. That's all right.
Well, I asked, no one responded, so I'm assuming that they don't.
You know, I'm a slow reader, so I haven't had a chance to read them. So maybe I should just abstain because I can't do it anymore.
Well, I mean, we could take a couple of minutes to read through them. I mean, if you'd like to.
George, this is Nancy. Is it possible that we can just wait till next time to pass them and go dive into the work? I hate to.
Yeah. Would you like to make a motion to that effect? We postpone consideration of this?
Yeah, because it's my fault. I was so late on this, and it doesn't give people enough time to read it. And this is precious time. I think we should spend working on motions.
Actually, now that you mention it, it reminds me that we passed that motion a while back that the minutes had to be sent to the committee 7 days in advance. So this will take care of that. And my apologies for not letting you know that.
Yeah, right. You said that to me before, I think. Thanks.
I did.
Yeah, you did.
All right. So I assume there's no objection to postponing the discussion of the minutes. Is there any objection to that? Okay, hearing none. Then my report is I was asked to draft a letter to Kriegler to be forwarded to John Prophet and with regard to whether we had any legal obligations if people gave medical advice over the air, either guests or hosts, whether they were or not doctors, as a network. And that was the question. I drafted one, sent it to everybody. I haven't heard any. The one response I get back I got was from Mal Bernstein, who thought the letter was fine. There was some objection from Steve Brown, which seemed to be to we shouldn't be sending the letter at all, but we had already decided to do that. So that when John comes back, I will forward that to him. I presume he will bring it to the PNB to see if they want to forward it to Kriegler, and that's it for that. Any questions about that?
Yeah, George, can you repeat the issue again? I think I missed that meeting, so.
Yeah, the issue was that the immediate issue was that at KPFA, a guest was taken, not allowed to be on the air. He wasn't allowed to be the guest on the show on the grounds that his position on a medical issue, which it was vaccination and it was a referendum coming up in California on the issue very shortly after that, was such that it was misleading for the population, that if people believe what he had to say, then there might be damage to the population. That was the justification given by the general manager. The question then arose was, are we liable for that? Do we need to be concerned about that? I mean, we could be concerned morally, but do we have any legal obligation if that happens? If somebody takes seriously some recommendation coming from on our airwaves, either by a guest or by a host for a medical on medical advice, and they wind up suffering from it, are we liable? And it seems like no one really knows. And so we decided last week to refer the question to John Kriegler, and I wrote the question out in more detail. It should be in your mailbox. I've forwarded it to everybody. Any other questions about it?
This is Margie. Can I say something briefly?
Sure.
I just want to say that, I think it's appropriate that the letter come from John, but I also want to make clear, because I think it might be a confusion, John does not need to get permission from the PMB to ask Kriegler a legal question. That would be an impossible situation if he were required to ask the PNB permission every time he had a question for Kriegler. So I just wanted to clarify that. So.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Okay. It's one of his responsibilities as ED.
Right. So any other?
Let me touch the stack.
Jose Luis Fuentes here.
I don't know if that's to the stack or just of information.
Well, just any questions or comments about the report I just made?
Yeah, so Benito to the segment.
Well, go ahead, Benito. There's no one else.
Okay, so I'm still confused. First of all, I think I just heard something I had not heard before. Did I hear you say that there was a referendum coming up a few... You know, during the time period that this broadcast was to be aired on an issue that concerning the referendum, number one, and number two, since we know it is the responsibility of the ED to seek such counsel whenever he or she finds it that it's warranted, then I don't understand why did we I'm not sure what we were trying to do. In other words, I'm confused. We were asking, I don't get it. What were we trying to do?
We were trying to find out whether the network is legally liable. The referendum is really a side issue. If someone gives medical advice on the air and a listener follows it and is damaged by it, are we legally liable for that in any situation, whether it's a guest or whether it's the host of the show, and whether or not the guest is a doctor, and whether or not the host of the show is a doctor. So that was the question, and no one seemed to know, including John, R.E.D. And so we decided we should find out.
This was Lydia.
Yeah, Lydia.
Okay. So a couple of things. Number one, we have a policy, and that's what George was following. We have a policy when it's the board members asking the question, which is why it was phrased this way. And in that instance, the question is sent to the PMB. And the reason for that is because in the past, several years ago, we had an opinion from an attorney who later specifically actually told me that there was information that was missing. If he had that information, he would have issued a different opinion, which is why you caught me the bull. Those instances. But we have an express policy. When the question is coming from the board, you can't just ask the ED to ask the attorney. And, you know, if John had on his own said, I need this answered, of course he can do that. But when it's a board question, and the reason for that is because then if you get an opinion, you have to know what the question is. That was the issue back in the day, and I think it's a very important one, because you can read an opinion, but if you don't know what was asked and what the question is, it might be a skewed response. So that's why George has made this as something that is going to be copied to the PMB. It's not that John needs permission per se, but it simply needs to be copied to the PMB. Also, if it were a different issue that would require a great deal of research, then that would have financial implications. But if it's something that they just know kind of off the top of their head, that's different. We did have a $100 limit on that at one point. I don't remember if that survived that motion. But anyway, so that is that. And Benito, this is an issue that was discussed at the in-person PMB meeting. Also, and then the leftover of that was brought to this committee.
And this is Margie. I just I want
to... Lawrence to the stack.
Okay.
Okay, Margie, then Lawrence.
Thank you. Okay, thank you for that, Lydia. I didn't know or I didn't remember about what happens when the question comes from the board, and so I appreciate that clarification. And the one other thing I wanted to say was there was no initiative. There was a bill pending in our state legislature which would require all school children, with very few exceptions, people who had certain children who had certain autoimmune diseases and other frailties, everyone else would be required to have vaccinations before they could participate
in
school.
It was signed, so it's required.
Yeah, and the bill passed and was signed by the governor. So, but the conversation in question was to take place before the bill was signed.
That's
correct.
Lawrence? Yeah, I didn't hear what Mr. Krigler said about this issue.
He hasn't said anything yet.
Okay.
Yeah, the ED will get this when he comes back, and presumably we'll deal with it when he comes back.
Yeah, William for the stack.
Ed, William.
Okay, I drafted something back on August 6th in response to some earlier August 5 and 6 emails from Jose Luis Fuentes Ramon and Mal Bernstein. And Mal thinks, or thought at the time, that the draft is going to the PMB, and it's not going from us straight to the ED. And I had drafted that I'd like to agree with Mal, but that's not what the motion says. So I think that the motion is actually in error. I think it should first go to the PMB.
This is Liam.
We can't have 6 or 10 committees telling the executive director what to do or asking the executive director to do things. It has to go through the PMB.
This is Liam. That's not the policy. The policy is that any director can ask a question of council, but the PMB has to be copied. The PMB does not have to vote on it unless there's going to be an excessive amount and the attorney comes back and says, oh, this is going to take 3 researchers and it'll cost, you know, $1,000. But absent that, any director can ask the attorney as long as the PMB is copied. So that's the policy. I'm driving, so I can't forward it, but I will eventually.
William again.
Jose Luis Fuentes for the stack, too.
William and then Jose Luis. Go ahead, William.
Okay, so I think based on what Lydia said, is that this committee is authorizing George, I think you're a director, to write?
Correct.
Is that what's happening?
The committee authorized me to write the draft of the inquiry to Krigler in its name, basically. The committee voted that they wanted to do that at the last meeting. And they also asked if I would write the draft, which I did, and circulated it to everyone for comments. There were no changes to it. There were some questions about procedure, which is something you're raising now, but there were no changes to the inquiry.
Okay, thank you.
Jose Luis?
Okay, so you know, the policy Lydia speaks of would make sense to me if we had a corporate counsel that we have a retainer with, and he gives us whatever amount of hours, or we pay him hourly basis and so forth. But that's not the case that we're operating right now. We're operating without a corporate counsel, and it requires us to either seek an outside counsel and retain an outside counsel to provide the answer to this question, which, you know, I personally, in my own opinion, there's no answer to this question because it depends. It depends on so many factors. It's a hypothetical that's, you know, it's pretty useless, in my opinion, unless you give specific concrete examples. They can go and research a specific case, and even then it depends on what a jury would do, and that it's just if you pick a jury or the judge. So this is endemic of this institution that keeps throwing away money at legal opinions that will not yield us anything besides bleeding more money that we're already bleeding. So, but again, I think that we don't have a corporate counsel. It's not for any director to go and ask Krieger. It's not our corporate counsel. I think it needs to be monitored by the PMB. Just an example, our audit committee has racked up a huge bill. And this governance committee is going to rack up another bill now with these questions. And then next thing, the personnel committee and every committee who has a director. I ask us to be rational about these money decisions.
This is Lydia.
Yeah, Lydia.
Okay, so Mr. Krigler is our SEC and our CPB attorney. This is in his area of expertise. Experience has shown that Mr. Krigler will respond with the variables. He knows this very well. So he will say, you know, in this instance, the SEC has not weighed in, or if you are concerned, issue 4 disclaimers, or, you know, these are the cases in which. And he'll do it very succinctly and very briefly, and that is not where we're running up money, including with Mr. Krigler. That's for other work. But there is a financial criteria to these requests. As I said, I think if it's over $100 or something like that, I think this falls within the context of being less than. It's something that he knows so well that he could answer. I say that only because I've seen correspondence recently on a similar issue from John and our general manager also asking John to inquire about something, and that had to do with like vitamin supplements and that sort of thing following the Kardashian fine. And so, you know, again, the answer is in like a mini paragraph. I don't see this. And the policy, in truth, it does only refer to corporate counsel because that's when it was formed. We have Mr. Krigler on retainer, and he's been with us predating everyone on this call. Like that, decades, even predating me on the CMB. Yeah. Anyway, so I think we can just go forward. I don't see. There are other issues that I would go along with Jose Luis on, but not this. Thank you.
Are there any other comments on the report on this issue?
Yeah, Lawrence to the stack.
Ed Lawrence.
So, was that draft letter sent to the committee?
Yeah.
Or was it just sent to straight to Krigler?
No. It was sent to the committee for approval, and there was no objection, so it will go to the ED to forward to Krigler.
Okay, so I never got it. So.
I will send it to you.
Thank you.
Now.
Chuck, would you send it to me too, please?
I will, and I'll also send it to Fred Blair. Okay, any other comments? Okay, Serena, are you in a position to read the your first motion, or just speak to it, or would you like me to read it, or how do you want to proceed?
If you can read it, that would be good. Thanks.
Okay. But we agreed to do the PMB, the bylaw issue first.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Yes. Benito, you raised the issue. What were the questions you wanted answered?
I didn't know. I don't have a particular question. I was wondering where exactly we were and if there were any outstanding issues. Since I know that, are we supposed to, isn't the PMB supposed to vote on these amendments soon?
I think I'll refer that to Lydia if I can. Lydia, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yes, we're going to be voting on them on January 24th. The bylaws amendments are on the Pacifica.org website. I don't remember all of them, even though some that I submitted. One was just to replace a town hall with a fundraiser in terms of the LSVs, so that instead of two required town hall meetings, it would be one required town hall meeting and one fundraiser, one LSV fundraiser, which doesn't mean they can't have other town hall meetings, but, you know, the year goes by fast, and I don't, many LSVs are even holding those. But anyway, that was one that comes to mind. And I can't remember the other ones I'm driving in. But if someone wants to go up to Pacifica.org and refresh our memory, that would be fine.
I have a question for Lydia.
Okay. Well,
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what was said.
I want to ask Lydia a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't get the date you said we're voting.
January 24th.
January 24th?
I'm sorry. September 24th.
Oh, okay.
September 24th.
Yeah, September 24th. Sorry about that. I don't know where my head's at. Okay, September 24th. Yes.
Okay. I am... May I have a floor?
Yeah, Catherine.
So is anybody else on from New York? Because I haven't been hearing the carts. I know they're supposed to play three times a day. Are you guys hearing it in your areas?
I have.
Anybody else want to respond from their area? I can't say that I have, but I could easily have missed it.
All the GMs confirmed to John that they were the carts were in rotation.
In D.C., it's been in rotation. We haven't heard it all that often, but most certainly we've heard it a whole lot more than anything related to the ocean. So everything in the world is relative.
Anything related to the what?
The bylaw amendment cart has been in rotation, I would say, roughly for at least 2 weeks. We haven't heard it all that often, but certainly a lot more often than anything having to do with the election.
I see. Okay, thanks.
Lawrence, did I hear you asking for the sec?
Yeah. I just wanted to say to Lydia that I've heard it once on KPFK.
Yeah, okay.
Anybody else comment from one of the other stations?
Yeah, I mean, I don't listen to stations 24 hours a day, but I have to.
Okay, let me bring up the motions. The first one, do you want to consider them in the order that you sent them, Serene?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. The first one is a motion for a special rule, Ray, in-person meeting order. I'll read it out, and we'll go from there. Whereas in 2013, the PNB met in person twice, February and November, and in 2014, in person once, February, and its first likely and only 2015 meeting in June. And whereas the current meeting rotation of New York, Houston, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, and Berkeley means that with one in-person meeting per year, it would be years before an in-person meeting again occurs outside California, be it hereby resolved that in order to guarantee greater member access to PNB, in-person meetings shall not just alternate among the station, but among regions, so that serial meetings are not held in a single region before being held in another.
The effect of this motion will be to change the meeting cycle by reversing the order of meetings in New York and Berkeley. And so they would go, the new order would be Los Angeles, New York, Berkeley, Houston, Washington, D.C. There is then prior meetings and proposed cycle, but I think the sense of it is clear, is to change the sequence so that it moves back and forth between the three areas, which would be the West Coast, the East Coast, and the Gulf Coast, I gather. Is that the clear intention of your motion, Serene?
Yeah. Essentially, what we're going to be doing is reversing the order of New York and Berkeley, because the present cycle, which I actually remember as being a change in itself, because there was one year when there was a hurricane in Houston, and the meeting was canceled, I think, because all the flights were canceled and whatever, whatever. I don't know that we ever undid that, but whatever. For the past several years, the pattern has been D.C., L.A., Berkeley, New York, Houston, D.C., L.A., Berkeley, New York, Houston. But that if we're doing Berkeley right after we do L.A., and we're only doing this in, you know, in terms of our current fiscal condition, we've only been doing it once a year. That means, well, we were in L.A. In June. The next meeting, which presumably will be January, February, is going to be again on the West Coast. So since our meetings are less frequent, I think we need to make the adjustment so that we don't end up being on the West Coast for two consecutive meetings anymore. But we do, you know, the West Coast Station 1, the East Coast Station 1, the West Coast Station 2. Then, I'm sorry, I listed you guys as Central. I forgot you actually have a coast. How could I write with all that oil? Anyway.
That's all we got.
Yeah. And then, you know, so we'll do the Gulf Coast, and then we go to East Coast Station 2, which would be D.C., and then we redo the cycle. So we're going from coast to coast, not doing two back-to-back California meetings anymore.
Okay. I think it's – is there any question about that? Anybody want to make a comment about it? Anybody for the stack?
Benito.
Benito, go ahead.
Okay. Unless I'm missing something, this makes absolutely no sense to me. You know, I mean, when I first came on the PMB, for instance, I went to New York. That was my first meeting. Then I went to Houston. Then I stayed here in D.C. And then went to California. And so it just so happens that the next meeting is in California as well. I don't see what the big deal is. I don't see what problem we're trying to correct. I get the idea. I get the, you know, that we shouldn't be on the same part of the country two times in a row, and we should listen to voices from other parts of the country. I got that, but I don't see that idea trumps the need to go to every station. So it's like, if we don't go to Berkeley next time, I mean, I will be here, but I won't be one of those going to wherever. It seemed to me that jeopardizes or discriminates against Berkeley simply because they were right after somewhere down the line, who knows how many years ago, a certain order was set up, and so now we've been working by that order. And, you know, folks that have been on the PMB for a certain amount of time, you know, have not yet being able to go to that station, they've learned something about the other station, they should go ahead and learn something about that station, you know, and then come back to New York. I don't see what's been fixed.
Anyone else want to speak to this?
I'd like to speak when others have spoken.
I don't hear anybody speaking up, so go ahead, Serene.
Okay, so the point, when we were meeting four times a year, it was fine to say that we would alternate among the stations in a fixed pattern, because over the course of a year, we were getting to four of the five stations. Now that it looks like, now that we've been getting to the stations, to an in-person meeting once a year, and unless we come into a lot of money, I don't see that in-person meetings will become such a priority that it'll be happening more than once a year. I think it's reasonable to try to make sure that we're alternating coasts, because someone in D.C. can drive up to New York for a meeting that's being held in New York. Someone in L.A. can drive to Berkeley. It's not a short ride, but it's a heck of a lot more affordable than going across country, flying across country in order to actually meet the PNB. So in this way, if we alternate coasts, and Houston being, you know, sort of in the middle and being an airline hub, is pretty affordable, not cheap, because, you know, everybody's circumstances are different. But at least on the East Coast and on the West Coast, people from one of the stations, as I just gave the example, D.C. to New York, that's a possibility for those people who really want to see the board face-to-face. And I don't think we should shut that out by, you know, essentially, we're not going to have a meeting on the East Coast. If we don't do the switch, we won't have a meeting on the East Coast until 2017, which means New Yorkers would not have seen the PNB, or folks in D.C. would not have seen the PNB for 2 years. That's not necessary. We can simply, frankly, I don't think Berkeley is going to suffer from discrimination. Berkeley still is the home of the national office, and, you know, has, I'm not uncaring about people in Berkeley, but I'm not worried that they will feel deprived of access, that they still have the ED there.
This is Lydia. Point of information?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, sorry, I had lost the signal because I'm still driving. Is this a bylaws amendment, or, I mean, this would require a bylaws amendment. Is this a bylaws amendment being proposed, or has been posted and I missed it, or what?
Does this really require a bylaws amendment to change the sequence?
I don't think so. I mean, the bylaws say that we shall not meet in any given station area until we've met in each.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I was responding to Josh.
I had just thought when I left off we were discussing bylaws, so I thought this was a bylaws amendment.
Oh, no.
Okay.
We moved on to the motion about meeting rotation.
This is just a change in the meeting rotation, and to be clear, instead of going L.A., Berkeley, New York, it will go, if Serene's motion passes, L.A., New York, Berkeley.